Maury watches the clock tick away as Shula has won his Super Bowl. The Miami Dolphins have defeated the Washington Redskins. Now the clock, there's a gun. And Miami has won Super Bowl VII. The final score, Miami 14 and Washington 7.
David, football, football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. There you just heard Eddie Spaghetti's choice to honor the late and great Don Shula, a true legend in pro football who passed away earlier this week. I don't know what play Eddie Spaghetti chose. Of course, Eddie Spaghetti doesn't know or much care about the early 70s of pro football. But of course, to me, the greatest decade in pro football history because of how many gargantuan juggernauts there were in pro football at the time. Here to kibitz about that, this, that, and the other, of course, our pals and our resident Miami Dolphins fan all the way from London, England, grew up rooting for the aqua and orange in part because of Don Shula. It's Handsome Hank. How are you, Handsome?
I'm good, thank you, Dave, but sad that Don Shula passed away earlier this week.
You know what, though, Handsome? We had a, I think it was about 8 years or so ago, we had the chance to meet him.
We did.
When he came over to NFL Network. And I was the thing that struck me was not that he was a graceful man and had stories for days and was a sort of seemed a generous soul, more than willing to glad hand with you, Handsome, and with me and everything else, but that he was funny, too. He had so many funny.
He was funny.
Wasn't he? He was a wiseacre sort of.
He was a wiseacre a little bit. So when I met him that day, and you very kindly, Dave, helped facilitate that meeting. Age 11, the Dolphins played in London against the 49ers, Wembley Stadium, Marino against Montana. It was 1988, and me and a friend ran away from home. Literally, like, packed our bags, and we were like, we're going to go to where the Dolphins are practicing. I want to meet Dan Marino and Don Shula. And for whatever reason, it wouldn't happen today, and it shows, how far the NFL's come, but especially come in the UK. I just walked in. And so as an 11-year-old kid, I got to shake Don Shula's hand, played catch with Dan Marino and Mark Clayton. It was genuinely still to this moment is the greatest moment of my life. It lasted 5 minutes, but I've lived on it ever since. So when we saw Shula, whatever that was, 2013, so I'm not very good at math, but as many years later as that was, 25 or something, I said to him, you're obviously not going to remember this, but I ran away from home. And he had said, and to your point, Dave, about him being a wiseacre, he said, well, give me your mother's phone number. I want to call her to apologize on your behalf that that's what you did. So I agree. He was a joke. I don't know about a jokester, but he definitely had a sense of humor but also was like willing to listen to me talk about stuff that he definitely didn't care about.
Well, those are the best guys. See them, you watch, you grow up watching the NFL film stuff, the slow-mo and the regal music underneath. Obviously, you don't get much of a sense of what kind of guys these are. So it's always gratifying if you're rooting for a certain team or player.
Like, I just think about, how long it took me to kind of, the only soccer experience, internationally that I had was the World Cup, and that was every 4 years. So that was kind of my exposure to international soccer that I came to love. Argentina, of course, because of how old I was, and Maradona and kind of those teams. But how do you come to find Miami Dolphins?
Slightly boastful pronunciation of Maradona there, money.
Well,
you don't have to go that far.
The only reason I say it like that
is Maradona.
Maradona, come on. What do you want me to say? Maradona? No, wait, you can't have it both ways, Hank. Because if we say strawberry, you go, what is that supposed to mean? Strawberry.
Maradona. Anyway, sorry, I don't want to get off topic. But Shula is my Maradona because I fell in love with my dad lived in the US very briefly for like, I think about 6 months, but he lived here during the 73 season. So the Dolphins were on top of the pile. So when football first came on TV in the UK, which was in like 81, 82, it was the only, there were four TV channels. The fourth one had just launched, they had rights to nothing at all. But the one thing they got the rights to was for the NFL. They would play a cut down version, like 30 minutes or 40 minutes of the best game from the week before. And inevitably, because of Marino, you were often seeing, you know, massive shootouts, super exciting. And so, my dad had some kind of affiliation with the Dolphins just because he'd watched them and they'd been good at the time. And so I guess I was pointed in that direction, but they were shown far more often than other teams, which is what led me to them and led me to Marino and led me to Shuler and led me to a love of that.
Boy, we Americans really got the short end of that stick. The UK gets American football. We got Australian rules football on our TVs when we were growing up.
That was ESPN. Wasn't that ESPN launched with that, basically, right?
Yeah, but we did get, you know what? I did watch. I loved football so much as a kid. I would sit and watch in the summertime. I would watch CFL when it would come on Dieter Brock and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and all of that. And then I loved, unironically, I thought the USFL was great too. By the way, I didn't say hello to him yet.
It's fine. We're good.
Probably a big Chicago Blitz fan in his youth.
I think I've told this story. I've told it many times, but in this space before. Growing up, didn't have a lot of scratch.
That's right.
Could not afford to go to Bears games, but my old man took us to see old Vinny Evans, quarterback in the Chicago Blitz. And when we walked into Soldier Stadium and I was able to finally behold all its glory at about 8 years old, there were as many people in Soldier Field that could probably ring the field the entire way for 2 to 3 rows and no more. There might've been 300 people there watching the Chicago Blitz take on, I think, the Arizona Wranglers was the game I got to go to.
Well, I was just about to say, I know you remember this money, but of course, mid-USFL run, the Chicago Blitz traded their entire franchise Tim Spencer, everyone, the Ohio State running back, everything, number 46. They traded Vince Evans and everybody to Arizona, and Arizona exchanged, sent all their assets up.
What?
But then they just put on each other's uniforms.
The owners decided to move. The owner was like, I'm going to move to Arizona. Can I take my team? And the Arizona guy was like, yeah, that's fine. I'll just move my team to Chicago.
I mean, great restaurants up in Chicago. All right, I'll do that. Okay, yeah, good. Do it.
That's the strangest. That's crazy. The kind of a league that's definitely competing at the more amateur level of professional.
Anyhow, it's Matt Money Smith, voice of your Los Angeles Chargers, Justin Herbert, Tyrod Taylor. Who knows? Maybe Cam Newton, doubtful at this point. Maybe Joe Flacco, the man who I've now started. I've started to endorse Joe Flacco as Big Ben Roethlisberger's backup in 2020 in Pittsburgh, just to tweak the locals a little bit. Tua is going
to
be
wearing. I'd like to point out real quick, by the way, before Hank takes his shirt off and starts rubbing his nipples talking about Tua. In this very space last week, we discussed the fact that Andy Dalton would find a home before Cam Newton. And here we are a week later.
Right.
And yes, Cam Newton is still unemployed. And Andy Dalton is not only signed, but being celebrated as a brilliant and shrewd signing by the Dallas Cowboys.
So weird. And Jay Gruden, of course, he preferred Andy Dalton to Colin Kaepernick when he was the OC in Cincinnati. Right. Hugh Jackson liked Kaepernick, right? And in that power, I think Jay Gruden liked. Anyway, yeah, that is a good what if. I'm just trying to jam in something pro football what if related so that I can promote. Go to NFL.com or go to @Damashek on Twitter. I have it pinned at the top there, the 5 episodes of the What If series that includes Baldy and Daniel Jeremiah and Cynthia Freeland and Steve Weish and Cole Wright and Jim Trotter. We chop up all those iconic moments in pro football history. And
Dave, congratulations to you and the team that did that. It's really good. I enjoyed it. I watched them with my kid over the weekend, and we had a great time sorting back through NFL history.
Well, you know, the shout out goes to Anthony Smith from the NFL features team. Great producer, high end producer, made that thing look real slick. So for him, at least, not for me, for him, go watch it.
Oh, geez.
The what we also talk, we talk about the immaculate reception, and really it doesn't disrupt in all likelihood. It's hard to come up with a sequence that if you give the immaculate reception in 72 to the Raiders, that it somehow disrupts the Steelers dynasty. That's maybe a little bit of a leap, but it is potentially disruptive to your Dolphins, Handsome, in 72, because the Raiders might have gone into Miami. I think there's a fair football based argument that the Raiders would have won that game. They kind of had their number, and they might have knocked them off, and you guys might not have even gotten to a Super Bowl that year. But the other one that I love to talk about is the 85 Bears. I think that Marino and Shula, given another shot at that a month and a half after they beat them in the Orange Bowl, I think they would have beaten them again in the Superdome. So in the spirit of what ifing it, Handsome Hank, how say you?
I say yes. I mean, they'd already done it one time. And one of my favorite memories, again, this is, seems to have turned into me celebrating Dave, which is not what I like to do, was at the draft in Chicago when Dave stood on the stage and presented that as a likelihood to Bears fans en masse on, I think it was the Saturday of NFL draft in mid-afternoon, when it seemed like a few of them had probably had a couple of beers. And got roundly booed by several thousand people.
Hey, when he guess what? You know, just like defense, the no jive policy travels. You know, right. That's how I approach it.
Hey, I think the way you said it though was that I think we can all agree that the Dolphins would have been the Bears in the Super Bowl. And it turned out that not everyone could agree with that.
All right, so I'm a jackass. I think we've already done this one, money. So just very quickly, as we've yapped about this very quickly. Some sentences. Oh, look at this.
What have I got, Alfie?
What do you got? A donut. You got a muffin. What do you got? A fritter. What do you got there? A little old fashioned.
Alfie brought me a cookie. Look how thick that is.
Look at that. Yeah, is that a scone
it's a cookie. Two cookies.
Hey, Alfie.
Dave wants to talk to you.
I know Ronnie's feelings about pro football, but Alfie, who's your favorite football player?
Who's your favorite football team? Can you tell them that? Go on. What are they called? The Jaguars.
Oh, okay.
Only eat for the rest of your life, you could only eat donuts, cookies, or cupcakes, which one would it be?
Okay, Dave asked you if you could only eat one thing for the rest of your life, donuts, cookies, or cupcakes, what's your favorite? You don't have to. Cupcakes.
Cupcakes.
I would say that's like dead Alfie last.
I think Alfie got that one wrong. I think I would probably go cookies. I missed it. You go donuts, huh?
I think so.
I'm gonna try cookies for now. So if you hear crunchy,
are you gonna butter that cookie, Hank? Are you gonna put like an?
I'd like to put a kind of an inch of butter on it normally.
I told
that
you
that. One of the things that floored me when I went and studied abroad for a semester was watching people take pastries and just dust them with either butter or jelly or something like that, which of course we don't do here. I was like, ooh, that's a nice little addition there.
Ain't that right? I went to France once. I went in Paris and was struck by that. It's like, oh, French food is so great. It's like, because it's all in butter. Yeah, it's like a cheat, you know?
Hank, I get it for Maradona, and he doesn't get it for – I went to Maradona. France once. So here I am in France.
I'm not from
that. I understand it. Like, Dave, that's how Dave says
France.
You don't say Maradona like that, you decided that you would affect Argentinian Maradona.
I was seated atop Montmartre in Paris.
There you go.
Then I would say, Dave, this is ridiculous as well.
How do you say France, Hank?
France.
See?
France.
You can say it without saying France.
But I could say, oh, la France. And then you could say, I feel like you may be putting something on there.
I'm still upset I was attacked by you for saying
Maradona.
I just introduced the kids to one of the saddest figures in cartoon history, Pepe Le Pew. He just could never get it right. I mean, how much bad luck did that poor skunk have? How many black cats could accidentally bump into a strip of white paint nearby? And he just kept getting duped. Right. You know, he's a lovable creature, but apparently not the sharpest skunk in the, you know, in the box there. All right, we'll skip the what if instead, because Tua is number one. I don't love it. All of a sudden, if Cam Newton would return, can you imagine that three, no fewer than three of the 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL would wear number one, assuming Tua starts. And then you got Kyler Murray now down in the desert. If Cam did that, that would be unheralded, an unheralded would number it? Of number one, I think. How many number? I mean, I don't remember. Did Jeff George, was he out there and won at the same time as Warren Moon? Maybe.
Yeah, they overlap for sure.
And they both would have, but I don't think George, no, Jeff George wore three at for certain stretches. I think he wore 11, maybe. He definitely wore that when he was in Champaign, Illinois. Matt Money Smith,
yes.
Speaking of Champaign, Illinois, you're from the state of Lincoln. What number, if you were drafted in the first round and the entire closet of numbers was available to you and you're starting court or you're going to be face of the franchise QB, what number would Matt Money Smith wear?
The number I grew up wearing, 13.
13,
was,
eh?
Yeah, my number when I, and it was given to me when I was my second year of Little League, and I had started to kind of flex a little bit and was playing some pretty good baseball. And my coach, Durwood Godey, I still remember his name, Durwood Godey. I was the catcher, and I think I hit in the three hole, and he gave me number 13. And he said, you know why number 13? And I said, why, Mr. Godey? And he said, because unlucky for them, that's why. And I was like, all right. And from that day on, I wore number 13 in all my sporting pursuits.
I like that.
Not number 10, Money.
Not, no. I think, you know what? I ended up getting stuck with
Maradona 10. Because Maradona wore number 10.
Because, exactly right. Because of Maradona. I did wear 10 my very next year for the really? Giants when we won the Little League championship in that age bracket. But then immediately went right back to 13.
It is interesting. At some point, this Tua jive about like, hey, does it make sense for Tua to wear the number 13? Like, what? I mean, where's our sense of history?
Well, I don't know why you'd want to do it if you were Tua. Why would you want
exactly? Why put the pressure? Why put him under that pressure?
Exactly. Well,
that's one of my favorite things about my favorite athlete of all time, Lemieux, is that he took the 99, who he kept getting compared to, Gretzky, and he's like, yeah, I'll just turn that upside down. That's a cool, subtle, not that subtle, little passive aggressive, like kind of move there. 13, I like that. Wilt the Stilt, yep. Dan Marino, you're in good company there. And I do like the kind of anti-hero statement it makes. You know, the bad luck is I'm going to turn it positive.
Yeah. Bad luck for you.
But I also think with the retirement of numbers, that you're eventually just going to run out. You know, you have to have 52 devoted, and if they keep retiring them, and if they don't eventually start pulling them out, then they are going to run out, and then that's when Matt Money Smith can wear the money sign.
Yeah.
Eventually, we're going to have
I wasn't ready for that,
right?
We're going to
have to get
into
the symbols, like asterisk.
Yeah, get into that. Yeah. Maybe some emojis. I'd have like the like, crying emoji.
Yeah, the flame emoji. I do like what SC does with the number 55. I love what the Cowboys are doing with number 88. Like, I do that. If you're not going to retire numbers, like, hey, you get to earn this. You know, you are going to be able to wear 55 starting your sophomore year. You don't get your freshman year, but sophomore year, now proving yourself that you get to wear the esteemed number 55 of USC. There is something cool about that. Like, I wouldn't just give it to CeeDee Lamb. I wouldn't have given it to Dez Bryant. But, like, hey, if you prove by your third year that you're exceptional, congratulations, young man. Here's the number 88 for the remainder of your career.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of it being based on merit, that they don't hand it to you. But, that debate is a fun one. The if you care about the history at all, is 88 Cowboys or 20 Lions, which one is better? Because the Lions have Lem Barney, Billy Sims, and Barry Sanders.
Is it now retired? Did they retire?
It must be. Unless they have a ring of honor. I'm not sure how they do things there. Next question for you guys. And by the way, hello to our pal there, sequestered in his apartment somewhere near Culver City.
Scott Stiles. And that's
I was just going to say, but it's hard to tell because he's got the headband. He's got the New York. He's got the Staten Island accent. He's in California. And yet he's paying homage to the Sunshine State's third best pro basketball team, the Orlando Magic. How are you, Eddie Spaghetti?
I'm good. I don't live near Culver City. I'm staring at the Hollywood sign. So,
excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm wearing, Shaquille O'Neal.
I live in Hollywood.
That's why they call him Hollywood Eddie.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what are you wearing? An old Shaq?
Shaq. Yeah. My good friend.
Yeah. Exactly.
Eddie Spaghetti, your hairdo requires that I ask because your hair is really getting out of it. You know what? I think I've reached a terrible place in life, fellas. I got to tell you, look at this.
What is this?
I have not. Look at this. I've taken my hat off.
Right.
And you can see my hair. And you say, like, yeah, Dave could maybe stand a haircut. But look closely. I haven't gotten a haircut in 2.5 months now. And my hair really hasn't grown that much considering – I think my hair may have stopped growing.
Well, you know, they say you're supposed to keep it healthy by trimming the ends. You know, you got to trim the tips there, and that's what spurs right. the growth. So, like, you know, as I, who shaved my head,
right,
because I just couldn't take it anymore, my hair was kind of very similar, where the top had grown, but the sides had sort of just, I don't know, it just, it's, look, hey, Dave, your hair's a mess.
Is that it though? But is my question is this it? Is that something that happens? Does at some point your hair just like, yeah, that's the hair you get for the rest of this life, and you better hang on to it like grim death. Like, am my hair never going to grow again?
No, it's growing. I mean, it's growing in most places. Definitely not growing at the back.
No, let's see that part.
As we all know,
give us a look at that. No, still not.
I wish my head could bend further down so I could expose the flesh yarmulke.
While we're doing a little show and tell, would it be okay if I make a request?
Yes,
Eddie, could you please go get your stupid weighted vest and put it on and show it off to all of us? I would really like to see that.
I'm surprised he's not using it while sitting still.
I'm disappointed.
You get it? It's going to be dripping wet because I used this morning.
I was out there running so hard, and it's so hot that it is encased in sweat. It is still dripping from hours ago.
It is. I'll grab it though. For content purposes, I'll grab it. Hold on,
please.
Oh, here we go. I got
for
my
content purposes on a podcast. I'm not sure that he's necessarily got the right idea here.
Like
we're the only
like
people
the man,
that's going to be able to see it.
Like the man whose jersey he's wearing right now, Shaq Fu himself, Eddie Spaghetti, fights the battle of the bulge daily, right. And so he's gotten himself a weighted vest.
We ended up carrying this conversation over to the radio show, the Petros and Money show, where we started discussing some of the stupidest things we've ever purchased when it comes to fitness equipment. And we got into the strength shoes and the vinyl suit from the 80s that you would end up wearing to go jogging and you would lose. Put it on, Eddie.
You want it on? I'll put it on.
Yes. Absolutely.
How heavy is it, Eddie?
This one max is 20 pounds. It can go as light as 12. It's pretty wet, but I'll put it on for money.
Please. I want to see what you look like running the streets up. Oh, I don't live in Culver City. Huh? I'm staring at the Hollywood sign right now out my window, Dave. How dare you? And this is what he looks like running the streets.
Spaghetti looks ready to call some balls and strikes. Get behind the dish.
Podcasting with the weighted vest sounds good. Yeah, and Hank, the pouch is right in the front. Here you can see. You can open it up.
Right.
You can
put your treats in there. Yeah, it's pretty damp, but I'm happy with the purchase. It wasn't too expensive, and I feel more accomplished when I'm outside. It's a hot week here in Los Angeles, so
sure is.
So, yeah, this is...
Do you wear a shirt under it when you run? Do you wear a shirt over it when you run?
No, it's under. Kind of just like this setup. Like, put like a tank top and then just throw this on top. Just do my like 3-ish mile jog.
It's a 3-ish.
It's tough, though. It felt like when I first did it yesterday, it felt like the Undertaker was putting his boot on my chest the entire time I was like outside. But today was a little bit better. So I'm getting little by little, getting a little better at it.
I like that.
Good work, Eddie.
The thing everybody's watching now is The Last Dance, and the thing that when I watch the rise of the ads with Spike Lee and all that, and really the massive turn in our society owed mostly, and there was some with the weapon, with the Converse weapons with Magic and Bird wearing them and everything before that. But then it really blew up when Michael Jordan with the Air Jordans and everything. And it's crazy that within our lifetime, that shoes worn by Will Chamberlain was like basically out there in Chuck Taylors playing ball, like the highest level.
Jerry of West, basketball. Elgin Baylor, all in like Chuck Taylors.
While we were alive, that was happening. Like these bum sneakers. And now it's like, well, you got to have, I think they're talking about crazy purchase. I think it is insane that America, that society has been duped into like, oh yeah, those shoes, those sneakers won't do. I need volleyball sneakers. I have to buy that sneakers are that specific, that sport specific. It's it's the sneaker equivalent of conditioner, which I continue to spread my conspiracy theory that they made way too much shampoo and they're like, you know what? If we start selling something called conditioner, people are stupid enough that they'll feel they need a two-step hair washing process. Right. And then America. Then they caught on, they're like, what are we going to put them together?
And said shampoo and conditioner. And now we're going to get that. Like, that's, yeah.
Or it's and a, I refuse it's to use it. It's I refuse scam. To use it out of principle. Because now it's like, hey, you get them both. You get the shampoo and conditioner in one. No, you made a mistake by creating this stuff called conditioner. Now you're trying to give it to me in my bottle. Your bad ideas don't get passed off on this gorgeous mane
of hair. Yeah, you know what I like to use? A bar of Irish Spring. That's all it is. I just put it right there on my head.
There's something to be said for that as well. Like shampoo and soap are essentially the same thing. One's liquid, one's solid. You can wash your hair with soap.
You absolutely can, and a lot of people do. Should. Handsome, you haven't watched it yet. The thing that's striking is the atrocity of 90s NBA basketball uniforms. I talk a lot about NFL ones, but sweet Jesus, are those hideous uniforms that so many teams were wearing in the NBA back in the 90s. The other fashion faux pas that is hard to ignore is the collection of Marv Albert's toupees. I mean, they are – I mean, like it's one shot after the other. It's some variation on this ridiculous – Fabio kind of like the ridiculous that one and after
terrible
the other
teeth though. Too by the way like oh. just his the bottom row of his teeth you can't take your eye you're like wow although he's you know one of the great play-by-play men of all time. I'll tell you what jumped out at me after having watched The Last Dance. I decided to go back and search and watch some of those old finals games and some of the old Eastern Conference finals games between the Bulls and the Knicks, you know, reminiscing. And I know everybody says this all the time, but just go ahead and investigate for yourself. It floored me. There is a genuine anti-Bulls bias from Marv Albert. And it is startling. Like it is, Michael Jordan is having phenomenal games, scoring like 35 points through three quarters. And you know, he'll say, you know, wonder if we're going to get one of those supernatural performances by Jordan in this one, still a quarter to go. And you're like, what? It's the NBA Finals, and he's got 35 through three, and all of a sudden it's in the Knicks Bulls Eastern Conference game after the Knicks go up two. I think it was Game Three. He was basically reading a eulogy of the Bulls in this Game Three before the series had even really been like it's not even close to being decided, and it was crazy to me that Marvin. Maybe it's because the Bulls were at that point, you know, kind of the kings of the hill, and people are interested in watching them now get knocked off after they had ascended that mountain. But go back and watch them and listen to Marv. It is wild. Not that he's openly cheering, but just the lack of celebration of the Bulls or Michael Jordan throughout the Eastern Conference Finals and into the NBA Finals.
I love that stuff, by the way. I'm all for it. This idea, again, that we've talked about. I don't care about – I mean, local play-by-play guys should be homers. I don't know. The downside of that is zero. I don't get why anybody wouldn't be a homer if you're a play-by-play guy locally, and one. And two, I'm fine with Marv being a homer, too. Those were more majestic in the Garden when the Bulls were in there. Money, in your esteemed basketball opinion, who was the best team that those 90 Bulls played? Was it because I've heard lately now some people throwing the Knicks into the mix, and I don't think it's crazy, but
I think it was the Knicks.
I think things broke just right for them, like we've talked about. If they would have played, if Jordan didn't retire,
Oh, you and this stupid thing. Would you stop
the
already?
The Rockets would have beaten the 95 Rockets would have beaten them.
This is one of the dumbest takes you have. Of all your dumb takes, this is the dumbest.
Well, you know better than I do, but I legitimately
think that's true. But you keep saying this. You celebrate Bob Ori like he's some sort of 10-time All-Star. Mario Elliott. Those are role players. Do you understand? It's Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, two of the 15 best players in the history of the league.
And Akeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler. Those are two good players.
Did you not just watch the last episode of The Last Dance when Michael was like, these people were saying that like Clyde Drexler and I are on the same plane? I mean, he destroyed the guy. His career was never the same after that NBA
You know what's
final.
Weird about that, though? What's weird about that is because you think you equate like, oh, well, six titles in 8 years and everything. It's the same thing with any dynasty. The Patriots people look back in 30 years from now, and I consider obviously the Steelers of the 70s, and you look back at them like, oh, you just assume that they beat everybody by 30 points. But that even that Blazers team, which was pretty good.
Oh, they smoked them.
They smoked them, but they still take them to six. And it's not like they smoke them in game six. You know, that game's tight. I had forgotten that series was as close as it was. I thought it was a 5-game series.
Yeah, no, it was six. And the thing that was good about it is it was the first one that they had won. They won in L.A. So the Blazers, by going to a game six, they won it at Chicago Stadium. And if you remember, it was a wild night of celebrating and looting and partying in the streets. Yes. They had to get on the TV and beg people. And I was in the middle of all of that, as a matter of fact, when that celebration was going down. It was quite odd to be surrounded by mayhem and destruction and
I was sort of
celebratory rioting.
I was on North Avenue and Damon. Does that make sense? Yeah, those two would intersect. I was there at my pal's place. And I mean, I don't mean a mile away or a half mile away. Within his apartment little stretch, there were people going outside and shooting guns into the air, and it was like, what the hell? I never understand the reflected power that people get from like, my team has won the title, ergo I am above the law. Shooting guns into the air.
I will keep it general. I will use generalities here, but as soon as that final the zeros hit, I looked at my buddies and I grew up on the south side of the city, and I said, hey, we're going downtown. And they're like, what do you mean? I was like, shut up, get in the car, we are going downtown. And we get in the car, and to get to the freeway from our neighborhood, you kind of had to drive through, some of the more disconcerting spots of the city. As a direct line. And I was like, we got to get down there quick before they shut it down. So we decided to take 87 straight to the 94 to get downtown. And as we're going up 87th, it is totally backed up. It's just everybody's trying to get to the freeway to get downtown. And these guys are just hanging on, like those little accordion gates that cover the glass so you can't break into a place back in the day. They're just hanging on this thing. It snaps. It's a liquor store. I just watch them throw a rock through the window. We're just sitting in traffic. And they come running out, and they're just bringing booze out and passing it around. And I'm in the back seat on the driver's side, and I'm just watching it all. And I lock eyes with one of them, and he looks at me, and he turns around, and he goes into the liquor store, and he comes out, and he goes, hey, man, you look like someone who likes Rolling Rock. And he handed me a case of Rolling Rock beer for our trip downtown on the freeway. It was great, and it was terrible. And however old I was, 19 or at the time, 18, 19, I think it was 19 at the time. I was 18.
So 18, we're driving. So more than a 50% chance young Matt Money Smith was hallucinating. But on the other hand, maybe.
I was focused. I had a focus and a purpose that evening to accomplish many different things on a bucket list that a young man growing up in some of the lower scale neighborhoods would always want to try to accomplish. And I was able to check off most of
them. It is like, that's kind of like your personal version of in Major League when the punker guy hugs the old guy in the bar, when they went, it's like, you look like somebody who likes Rolling Rock. Yeah, that's nice. We're all Chicago today.
Exactly.
Handsome, as we're running out of time here, very quickly, my last question, as a handsome man, could you ever see yourself if the time came? Would you ever wear a toupee?
No.
You wouldn't wear a toupee? Would you dye your hair?
I tell you what I wouldn't do. I wouldn't even get someone to pepper the back of my head if I started.
Well done.
On a daily basis, I wouldn't even do that, Dave. I like to, everything I do, I want to do it gracefully.
I hope I get to bump into you in about 4 to 7 years. I just bump into you on the street and I'm like, you look like someone I used to know. And I think you'll have a Marv Albert style toupee on top of your head.
Definitely the teeth, but I'm British. Hey, I've got to run, guys, but I think the highlight of my day has definitely been the fact that money's such a big Maradona fan.
Maradona.
Thank you for giving me that moment, money.
Go get Alfie a cupcake. All right, there he goes, handsome Hank. You know what? Let's wrap it up here. Eddie Spaghetti has some more working out to do in his weighted vest there. Just looking.
Today. I'm done for today. Got it in.
Here's your kettlebells today, Eddie. When you got back,
they haven't arrived yet. They're coming the next 2 or 3 days. So I will update you for sure on that.
Please.
Yeah.
I would like a little kettlebell demonstration next week.
Yeah.
Of what you're doing. I was corrected on the Twitter there. Turkish get-ups, not Bulgarian get-ups. So my apologies to the Turks.
Yeah. I it's been bugging me. Who does Spaghetti look like when he wears that thick headband that he wears?
Baker. People have said Baker.
Oh, is he the one? Baker Mayfield?
He does. Baker does wear the other.
Kelly Rudy, the ex-Islanders and Kings, used to wear that thing, right? And he would have the little...
Yes, well, and he would do the bandana as well. He would do the full head bandana.
It would cover the top of his head, too?
A lot of times, yeah.
Or was it... It wasn't Steve Blake then, was it? That had that... Or Steve Nash, who wore that weird head thing that, like, Spaghetti's got going there? These are the mysteries
Exactly.
We have a week to solve this.
You're right. I'm looking at Rudy, and you're right. He did wear the thick headband.
Yeah, I think.
See, now I'm looking at the other one, and because I got a photo of his first home game as a King, and he's got the full, kind of wrap. But here's another photo of him with the thick headband. So yes, I believe both would be the answer to that. Oh, Rudy, that's a good look there, Eddie.
The hair's going soon. I think I'm finally convincing my girlfriend to just watch YouTube tutorials and just take the clippers and get rid of it. I don't have beard oil. It hurts, and I got to get rid of everything. It's just too much.
There you go. This is a glimpse into your future, Eddie. Letting your significant other cut your hair. It's not a good thing.
Yeah. Apparently I don't need to do it. My hair, nature's just taking care of it. I've reached an advanced age that now my nature just cuts it itself. It's really weird. I don't know what happened to my hair. But anyway, Matt Muddy Smith, is always great. Thanks to you. And continued
Maradona,
success. Los Angeles.
Go back and watch it.
The Los Angeles area appreciates that you and Petros keep on going day after day in sequestration. It's good stuff to check out. If you're looking for a couple good voices to make you laugh, listen to Petros and Money on iHeartRadio. Thank you, Money. Eddie Spaghetti, great stuff from you as always. Handsome Hank. And thank you to the listener. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce later on. But in the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. Make sure you go look at that What If, by the way, on NFL.com.
Oh,
it's been a thin slice of heaven.